Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
We're asking you, do we need a more relaxed approach to outdoor seating? Outdoor dining spaces, table and chairs on streets in towns across the country for people to eat and drink? Or do we already have enough of them? And are they already there until late enough hours as well? Our reporter Sarah Madden has been out and about in the streets of Dublin today asking you your views.
Absolutely not. No, we could do with some more of it. Places that people can gather and just sit there quietly, but comfortably as well.
Absolutely not. Especially on this street and St William Street. Like, there's literally nowhere to sit, and then they give out when people are sitting on the ground. So, yeah, all we need is a few seats and a toilet.
These have been refused. Loose Cannon, they've been refused. But if you go around Dame Lane, tables and chairs are all over the place. Mm-hmm. The footpath is fully covered.
So do you think we need less or more?
We need more. But equally divided.
I would say it depends on the location. I mean, it's close to the main street. I would say maybe reduce it a little bit because we have a lot of pedestrians, and especially the main streets with all the tourists, and it's always like a queue and too many people on one place. Mm. But the little streets close to the main roads, I think we have enough.
I don't think we have enough, like, even just community spaces or people to kind of gather and stuff. I think that's been the issue with Drury Street for quite a while now. I think we need definitely more places to congregate and just meet and stuff. And also not the pressure of having to buy something within the shop too, right? Because not everyone has disposable income for that either. So I think just more community spaces would be good.
Yeah, it's a broader conversation, isn't it, really? About kind of community spaces and open areas for people can sit back and enjoy. Often, like you see in other European countries. With that, though, often comes some criticism too. And we want to hear from listeners. 1800 453 106 is the number. Publican Paul Clinton, who owns Flannery's and Camden Bites and Brews and Camden Street in Dublin, is with me here on the programme today. Because, Paul, you've recently had your appeal to operate on-street tables and seating areas until closing time on Camden Street rejected by On Commission Plenola. So you were basically looking, am I right in thinking, to have tables and chairs there till about 2:30 a.m?
Yes, we run these premises, but the footpath is owned by the local authority, Dublin City Council. And to have tables and chairs on the footpath, you have to qualify and get a license for these tables and chairs. But we've been operating with tables and chairs like this in our establishments for maybe like 20 years. And there's always been a little problem whereby there's a time limit on the when you get the license, which costs money. Mm. It runs from 10 in the morning to 10 o'clock at night. And there's always difficulties around why would you take in all these tables and chairs before you close? So we were hoping that as part of the kind of evolution of the city, that the city council would change that 10 p.m. limit. But that hasn't happened. And what I was hoping to do is I could have, if I succeeded, I could have got permission from the new board, Panola, to allow us to stay open to allow us to use the tables and chairs until we close. But we were unsuccessful, even though the board panel inspector suggested it should happen until after midnight. But anyway, we didn't get it, so we're back to square one.
Back to square one again. So at the moment, it's, you know, even though the bar is open, you have to go out and put customers up off the table and chairs at 10 p.m. You were hoping to
take them away.
And how many? Just give us an idea for people that maybe that aren't familiar. And I pass up and down Camden Street every day of the week, so I know the area you're talking about well, Paul. But we're not talking about many tables and chairs, really, are we?
No. Only a couple of tables and chairs, but we pay a license for them. The license fee you got to pay. Every year you pay the local authority €250 for every table, and €150 for every chair, and then you pay per square meter of footpath. So it all adds up, even though the relaxation, I think, on the footpath area.
But you pay 150 quid per chair
per year
and 250 per table.
Sometimes the license costs more than the furniture. But the trouble is, Camden Street is an interesting street. It's very active. It's very vital. But Camden Street is different at night time than it is during the day. So if you're passing up and down during the day, that's one thing. But you should pass up and down Camden Street at midnight or 1 o'clock or 2 in the morning, because there's numerous premises that pay extra money to have exemptions to their bar licences to stay open till 2:30, and you have to close your doors at 3. So to be taking in tables and chairs that are nice for customers or someone standing outside, people chatting to each other, to take them in 4.5 hours before you close is impractical. But it has always, that rule has been there for 20 years, but it's only lately we happen to have some very passionate resident associations in the area, and they're well intentioned, they're very passionate, but this 10 o'clock deadline is being used as a reason for pubs to be closed down. And 8 bars on Camden Street last October, the resident association suggested their license should be rejected because they don't comply with the 10 o'clock thing.
And but the 10 o'clock rule is for the outdoor.
Yes,
tables
outdoor,
and chairs,
for the
as
outdoor,
opposed to the actual bar license.
Yes, yes. Oh, absolutely. But yeah. they objected to the bar licences of the pubs.
Yeah,
which
separately.
Are, which would close down the pub.
So separately to that, and I know that the Residents Association you're talking about, there isn't anyone with us here on the programme today from them, but I suppose what they would say, Paul, if they were with us here this afternoon, you know, with the kind of the outdoor dining and drinking that obviously comes with having tables and chairs outside of pubs and pub restaurants, you have people, you've congregation, you've people drinking until later hours, they're there until the early hours of the morning, and with that comes noise and rubbish and everything else, singing, crack, you know, and all that goes along with it. And on a midweek night, that's obviously problematic for residents.
I would think there's no one singing and causing any kind of aggro outside in the front area. That's inside, we have DJs, there's music. So people sit out the front where it's nice and quiet, where boy meets girl and they want to go sit somewhere and chat to each other. And they can go sit out the front. We find the barriers that we put up are very useful to protecting customers, because you do at 12, 1, at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, there is the odd lunatic out there. Mm. And you have to keep your customers safe. I mean, we would agree with a lot of the things the residents want. There shouldn't be any antisocial activity anyway.
Oh, yeah. If you
run your pub properly, there's no antisocial activity. There's issues now. We should be working with the resident associations about the drug dealing that happens in the city centre needs to be worked on. But they're obsessing about this 10 o'clock licence for the furniture.
Which for the outdoor bit.
And they're weaponising it to cause grief to businesses, yeah. Which is sad. We should be working together with them.
Yeah,
I would hope the city council might decide to extend the 10 p.m. thing, where you have city centre locations. It's important out in the suburbs to keep this, where it's a quite, if it's a quiet residential neighbourhood.
So different types of licences then, Paul? Yeah. Is that what you're talking about? City centre versus suburban?
Yeah, they actually have two different types of licences currently in the council. They have a city centre furniture licence and a suburban furniture licence, and they charge two different rates. You pay two different fees. But the trouble is, on the city centre one, they still have the old 10 o'clock, oh, let everybody go home at 10 o'clock attitude on the paperwork. It's just out of date. And that's been that way for 20 years, and it was never a problem until this licence deadline has been weaponised by resident associations.
I think what was included as part of their submission from the residents in this instance was they talked about the kind of the noise nuisance and the queuing that comes with, you know, with people on street as well, trying to, I'm not necessarily talking about your own pub, but trying to get into other pubs or late bars that are located on the street. Just to give you a flavour of what some of the texters are saying today, I think 10 p.m. is late enough to be open to the outdoor areas. The noise and carry on isn't fair on the residents. This listener makes the point, if you choose to live on Camden Street in Dublin, what do you expect? Let people have a little bit of fun, says this listener. Stay with me, Paul, for a moment, if you don't mind. I've another Paul Montgomery, who's a bar owner in Cork, is with us here on the programme as well. Paul, in Cork, there was a kind of a different approach, wasn't there, taken a number of years back to really try and actually embrace on-street tables and chairs? Yeah.
Hi, Andrea, and hi, Paul. There, I'm listening. It's because I think we had a similar conversation a few weeks ago online about outdoor stuff and Galway and antisocial behaviour. But I think there's an important thing to remember here as well. Like, since the smoking rules changed and that came in, we have to remember that people have to go outside to smoke. So I can sympathise with Paul, and I have several bars in Cork City, and I have suburban and I have city, and as Paul is rightly saying, I'm out in the Wilson in Cork, and you know the drinking and the socialising is done there by 11 o'clock at night, and in the cities, and my venues in the cities, and I have clubs and bars in there, especially with JJ Walsh's and Pensies, it's only kicking off that time. So people are coming into the city to socialise, and our revenue stream is, and the lifeblood of any city is the nighttime life, because everyone that's flying in on Ryanair flights to Cork for weekends are planning where they're going to be going late at night. So I do accept, so to go back on your question, we during COVID, a few of us on Princess Street, you know, promoted the idea of outdoor dining and furniture outside, and City Council were very proactive, and they pedestrianised 17 streets in the city were turned into outdoor dining areas and drinking areas. So again, there's different times. Again, there's a bit of confusion of what should be allowed. And again, last year we founded the residents on one of our streets, Marlborough Street, were kicking off with the guards, and the guards came along and they insisted that our furniture be in by 11 o'clock at night, even though we were 2:30 premises. And like,
okay, Paul, so you really had something similar just an hour later.
We had, but the issue is like in Cork even, right, you have a lot of outdoor variations of outdoor facilities, and we have several in Cork that have been refused planning permission by our board Pinala, and they still operate on an outdoor basis. So I'm not quite sure. I think there needs to be proper policy on this nationwide. I think because there's two things. There's a smoking issue, which requires everyone to smoke, and you either have to have a smoking area outside or dedicate a smoking area. So that has to be taken into account for licensed premises, whether it's Paul's in Dublin or mine. And you can't just have people throwing fag butts all over the place outside. At least if there's tables and chairs, people will go out, have a cigarette outside and go back in and have to bring their drink with them. What are they supposed to do with their drink when you're forcing them outside for a cigarette, which is fine and proper? And then they go outside, they can't leave their drink inside and go outside. So we have to take that. That's number one. I think the second part then is seasonality. So there should be an adjustment, you know, that people, like if you were in the Devonshire in Soho, which is one of the most famous pubs in London, and they're famous for selling all the Guinness, and it's, even though it's not an Irish pub, but it's styled as an Irish pub. And a Dublin man owns and runs that, and they are selling copious amounts of drink. Everyone is drinking outside there, and that's in the middle of Soho in London. And that's tolerated and accepted without any licensing issues. And like Paul in Cork, we have a fairly strict regime in terms of the tables that we have to submit to the council, how many tables, how many chairs. So you have the council regulations and you have the Gardaí regulations policing it. And as I said in the show a couple of weeks ago, the issue about noise and stuff isn't about people that are coming out. Like we have doormen on all our venues, as I'm sure Paul has in Flannery in Dublin as well.
Yeah.
And the reality of it is, the people sitting on our chairs and tables outside our door are monitored because we're paying for that.
But you know yourself, Paul, like it's the queue, it's the in and out, it's the crack, it's the chatter, and it's hard to marry all of that with the people that are resident across the road.
Yes, but we are driving for city centres to be vibrant, right? And I get it about the residents, and we work with them. And invariably, a lot of the apartments and flats close to pubs and stuff are inhabited by people who are working late at night. And generally speaking, that's what happens. Okay. And if you're building or developing, but I think there's a reality check here has to come along here, that like we are sending people outside to have a cigarette. You can't then be saying to them, you know, throw the cigarette in the ground, throw your drink in the pavement, sit in the pavement. There is way forward, and, and I've seen
just on that point, Paul, hang on for a second. I want to bring in Sunil Sharp is with us, who's the spokesperson for the Give Us the Night campaign. How do we strike this balance, Sunil?
Well, we obviously need solutions, and listen, I see the points of what both Pauls are saying there, and I've never found myself agreeing with so many things that Paul Montgomery has had to say actually about nightlife, because he's bang on really what he's saying there, and I think it's a good point that probably a lot of people miss. It depends how long I suppose you're around in nightlife, but the smoking ban definitely has had more of an impact on this than we sometimes appreciate. I mean, I definitely understand the concerns certain frustrations of residents that live close to like a vibrant nightlife area. But a point that does have to be made that on top of the smoking ban in somewhere like Dublin, a lot like nightlife in general has thinned out a little bit. It's not as dense as it used to be, and the axis of nightlife, like I said, it's not what it was, and it means that the kind of the crowds have, in a sense, been displaced or diverted to areas like Camden Street in a way that they weren't years ago when things were a little bit more spread out. Something that Paul Montgomery said there as well when he's talking about like where our cities are going. If we're talking about mixed use areas, compact and 15-minute cities and high-density areas, I mean, this is a plan of government. This is the plan of local authorities as well. So they need to have the solutions. They need to be practical and pragmatic. They need what we need. It's not just mediation services. We need to actually put, like, I'll give you an idea. Okay, I don't know if Paul Clinton will agree with me on this, but I definitely agree that residents who are in the immediate vicinity, right beside the venue, not necessarily people that live a few blocks away, and sometimes residents do live a few blocks away and they're making complaints when people right beside the venue aren't making complaints. That's something that needs to be looked into. But as a measure, and it'll be a long-term one as well, it could be a thing where venues who are suffering, or not venues, residents who are suffering the most, might be able to have extra glazing put into their or a heavy duty front door that's paid for by the local venue or a few venues that are nearby. There are practical solutions we can put in place without people having to go to court and with licenses being objected to, etc. Okay. And that, we do have to think that way, and we need to do it soon.
Yeah, we might get the views later. Actually, we might get the views of another publican perhaps on that. Tony from Gibney's in Malahide in Dublin is with us. Tony, are you interested in paying for Dublin triple glazed windows for maybe nearby residents? Would that solve problems?
A lot of people have already done that, but it's really more a European culture thing that people themselves, the public, want to drink outside and they want to be in open areas. They want to have coffee or they want to have food, they want to have tea, but they just want to relax outside. So that's becoming more and more popular all the time.
Yeah, but Paul Clinton made the point a little earlier about the need for different types of licences. Is that the solution, that maybe we have a city and a suburban pub licence?
We're both in the city and in suburbia, and there's a lot of talk that if Dublin is to come back to its best levels, it needs what Paul is saying, and but an awful lot of people in that hospitality industry are saying, and indeed the people looking after Dublin City. But it's also, you know, everybody has to be incorporated in this, and you know, some streets have been pedestrianised, like Princes Street in Cork, and New Street in Malahide has that effect as well, and it works quite well.
Ellen from Alternative Dublin is joining us too, Tony, on the line. What's your solution, Ellen, to this, or do you have one?
I just agree with everything that everyone has said in terms of how important it is to have this as an option for us in Dublin. I just think, like, in regards to nightlife and how it's been affected since COVID and all the business closures that have happened, and then hotels are coming in, there isn't really an option for people to stay out late and have more space to drink. And I don't think it's a bad thing on the street late. I think if you are living somewhere like the likes of Camden Street, you are going to have an expectation of a certain level of noise and like to have more traffic in that area. So I do think that shouldn't be considered a factor to prevent it. But I also just feel that, like, to go off of what Sunil said there, like, there is not a lot of places for people to be in the city centre after hours. And like, if we were to bring it in similar to like a European model and have like the city streets open to drinking, I think you'd see a really good revival of nightlife.
It's not even just drinking, I should say, too. Like, there's actually quite a few people getting in touch here this afternoon just talking about the ability to go somewhere and have a coffee, like a mature adult, till maybe 11 or 12 o'clock. Like, take, for instance, the weather today. You know, this evening or this weekend or later in the week, and that people can go and, I mean, they don't necessarily have to be having an alcoholic drink, but even something to eat, a coffee, whatever it is, late at night. Yeah. They manage it in other European countries. Texter as well making the point, 10 o'clock is late enough to be open outdoors. For instance, in Sorrento, they'll come out at 10 p.m. at night and move the tables to clean the streets. It's a way to facilitate a lot of the cleanup and to help out with keeping the public services clean as well. Just a final word, Paul Clinton, you're still with us. Do you think we're likely to see any change to how this is managed?
No, not unless the city council, the city manager and the rest of the city council address the issue. I mean, the city council appointed Ray O'Donoghue as their nighttime czar recently to promote nighttime activity. The first day we met him, myself and another publican in the country, we told him the biggest handicap to a vitality on the street at late at night is this issue about the 10 p.m. thing. It's a real handicap. It's real. Why would you have a nighttime mayor and still have people with public licenses to stay open till 3 o'clock in the morning, having to put away their furniture 4.5 hours before they close?
Because I suppose the license is for the premises as opposed to the outside space being used for drink consumption. I would have thought that would have been the disparity there. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Listener making the point, I think some of the publicans are often a victim of where they're situated. If you have so many pubs around a particular area with huge crowds all the time, if maybe they weren't situated or were situated in quieter areas, wouldn't be a problem. Another listener makes the point, if you're going to choose to live in one of our capital city's most busy, social and vibrant streets, if you live near the locality of that, what do you expect? Asks this listener. Emails lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. For the moment, we leave it there. Paul Clinton there from Flannery's and Camden's Camden Bites and Brews on Camden Street in Dublin. Paul Montgomery, who's a pub owner in Cork. Sunil Sharp there. Ellen and Tony as well. Thanks for joining us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on Newstalk. Conversation that counts.